What's up, you guys? Good morning, Element Church. It's so good to be here with you today and to be here teaching and talking to you today, sharing some experiences, some memories, and of course, some of God's Word. So my name is Colin Menke, and if you don't know me, that would be really cool if this is your first time joining us today. It's been an absolute honor to serve at Element Church through a variety of roles. But most recently, I've been the Element Youth Student Ministries leader with my beautiful bride, Sarah. And we just have loved that so much. But that's kind of where we are at today. But man, life at Element started a half decade ago as we launched this church. And I actually started as the kids ministry director. E-Kids, what's up, E-Kids? E-Kids, if you're watching, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Parents, if you're watching, so glad you're here. Parents, if you haven't got your E-Kids or your Element Youth Kids in front of the screen today, go get them. Go get them. This message might be for them. So, like I said, just a variety of roles, but it's been an amazing past five, almost 6 years that I've got to spend as a part of Team Element. And I'm really excited to do something for the first time today. And yes, in the past, I've been able to share the stage with Pastor Scott. And yes, I've been able to learned so much from all of our gifted communicators over the years, but this I really feel like is a long time coming. And Pastor Scott, I feel like, has been grooming me and getting me ready for this opportunity. So I'm so thankful to be here with you guys today. And on that note, I just would like to say a huge thank you to Pastor Scott, Pastor Erica, and all you other leaders out there from the last few years that have invested in me and in Sarah's lives. Thank you. I really, truly believe I'm standing right here because of you. So I get to stand on your shoulders today for these next few minutes. So thank you to Scott and Erica, our pastors and amazing leaders. Also, thank you, Element Church. A couple weeks ago, you guys saw a message from Sarah and I that said, yeah, we're taking some risks on a whole new journey to the other side of the world to do some work in Budapest, Hungary. And that means we're taking Element Church with us. And we've already been so blessed to be sponsored. Element Church has agreed to financially partner with us. But so many of you, as a response to that video, that interview that we shared a couple weeks ago, have reached out and just given us so much encouragement and prayer and support. And so thank you for that. And then also, you know, I've mentioned Sarah, my amazing bride, but seriously, Sarah, thank you so much for everything you've done for me and for believing in me, because I also am here today because of you, you mean the world to me. So thank you for being my bride. Yeah. All right. So here we go. I got like 30 minutes, and anybody who knows me, and if you don't know me, because this is your first time here at Element, then you're going to find out pretty quickly I have a hard time keeping things concise. I'm an abstract, creative thinker, and guess what? My biggest challenge today is keeping things on target and keeping things within that 30-minute block. So stay with me for 30 minutes. We got a half hour together, and I really, truly believe God is going to move. He's going to speak. He's going to teach, because that's just what he does. He does it every day, day in and day out. And so I think he could do it this morning in a brand new way. And so this message it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's just titled Three Lessons. Three lessons. These are three lessons from the past half decade of my life. And I can't talk about the past half decade of my life without talking about Element Church, my family, my leaders, my community, my tribe. And so I'm going to share with you three lessons over these next few minutes. I'll just let you know, it's been really hard to create a message that is super cohesive and tied up in a neat bow. But that's just kind of where you're at when you have half a decade of experience. And when you're walking with Jesus, you know, it can be a bumpy ride, but he's always smoothing out those edges. So there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to try to pack in here and share with you. These lessons are unique and distinct. And so my hope is that one of these three lessons connects with you where you're sitting today. This message is a blend of personal experiences and stories, and it's also some of my favorite teachings of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. So I hope you like Luke. If you haven't read Luke, it's one of the major Gospels, and check it out, because it's got some amazing stuff. Yeah, I could get into that because we just had a heck of a time hanging out with our youth kids, soaping through Luke, which when you watch this, that will be a few weeks back. But hopefully you guys crushed Joshua and yada, yada. Anyways, so that's where we're going today. That's the broad overview. Let me pray for us, and then I'll jump into point one. All right. So glad you guys are here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, God, it's so good to be in your presence this morning. Sundays are the best day of the week. And I know not every Sunday feels like this amazing, like, hot cup of coffee, sun's breaking through the window. I just rolled out of bed from the best night's sleep kind of a morning. But I really believe that no matter where we've come into this church service this morning, I really believe that you can deliver that kind of refreshment to us. And so over these next few minutes, God, I just pray for our people. I pray for any person, first time, second time, 15,000th time. I don't know what number service you're attending right now, but I hope that, God, you can help our people to understand that you can always deliver a new message and you can always deliver a new touch of healing, that we can lean into you and that you can bring refreshment to us no matter where we stand, no matter where we sit, no matter if we got our hands on a steering wheel or holding babies or having breakfast, you can deliver refreshment and you can deliver a new message that can change things. And so I just pray that you do that this morning, Jesus. So thanks for being with us. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So point number one. These are my three lessons. This is lesson number one. I'm trying not to say points. These are three lessons. These are lived, real lived experiences and lessons. So my first lesson is this. The first lesson I've learned from this last half decade of life is that there is a cost to discipleship. And the scripture reference for this first lesson is Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32. Surprise, surprise. If you guys are cracking the seal on those beautiful Bibles ears, you're probably realizing that the header, the title in that section is The Cost of Discipleship. I remember when I first started back in the eKids launch days, I was so excited because we had our team, first team get together. I was like, oh, what is this going to be like? Are they going to like me? Who's this single dude? Like, I got parents on the team. I got young kids. I got teenagers. Like, we're just trying to do kids ministry and figure out what the next season is going to look like, what the first season of the church is going to look like. And I remember I got my iPhone out and I'm like, all right, I'm going to send a reminder text and it's going to be epic. And I put all the information in there and I double checked to make sure it was accurate. And I put this in this text and I'm like, I send out the info text first and then a follow-up text says, be sure to check out the information above. And I put a string of fingers that pointed to the above text. So there's two texts, and those fingers that pointed to the text above were not pointer fingers. They were another finger. Yes, the finger that's two digits. No, it's right next door. And can you imagine the experience I had as I started getting texts from parents and from students? I remember it. Hannah Perry, if you're out there, she texted me and she said, hey, she was one of our student leaders at that time. She was getting into high school. She was in the group thread and she was like, hey, Colin, you might want to check that last text. So I pull back up my cell phone. I look at it and I'm like, oh, no. I don't know if you had these experiences in your life where you're like, your armpits start sweating. I mean, just blood starts boiling. That was that moment for me. Oh, man. Oh. So I say that, I share that story with you because I want you to know, I want you to catch a little glimpse of who I was when I first stepped in the door to Element Church. That was me 5 years ago. So I'm not saying like, wow, I was so irresponsible. I didn't double check my text. I just mean like, wow, it's been a long time. There's been a lot of experiences just like that. Hopefully you're chuckling at home. We worked it out. Oh my gosh, did Pastor Erica and I have some laughs over that. Oof, we worked it out. But basically, I share that as well because I think that's a great example for you guys of what Jesus is actually really teaching and what my experience has been this past half decade in terms of the cost of discipleship. And so in his text right there in chapter 14, he draws two distinctions. And he creates this through two different figures. He grabs a disciple, which is a man or a woman. It could be you. And then he also brings alongside a king. And if you go throughout those verses, you see he shows you the picture of the person counting the coins, trying to figure out if they can build the tower. Well, there's a reason why he shares that first, because I really believe like that's the picture of the person then and now who's just trying to lead themselves, just trying to figure out how to make ends meet, just trying to figure out, hey, can I build this thing? Like, I don't want to just start building and then have to give up. Because so that's the leading yourself component of this cost of discipleship. And then he moves over and he shares the story about the king saying, hey, can my 10,000 take on those 20,000? And that's a whole different ball game. And so when I was sending out, you know, texts and putting middle fingers in there, I was very much at the, can I build the tower? And I think over the last few years, no, I'm not quite at that. I don't know what it's like to lead an army, but I feel like I've made a lot of steps towards the king role. And I've had to really start to step into some territory of can I be responsible for others? It's not just about building my tower. It's about, can I lead others? And that's what I've been doing the last few years. And I hope that's what you've been doing too. And I know that the reason I share this is because I know that whoever's watching right now, they got to find themselves in one of those two camps. Probably you're like, man, yeah, I feel like I've been counting the coins for a while. Or maybe you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm ready to step into something that puts me at a responsibility for other people. So I don't know where you're at, but that's a part of my story. That's a big lesson for me. That's really my first lesson. And I think in the scripture, it's so cool because it also in both of those scenarios, the teaching that Jesus is giving, he says, sit down and count the cost in both. And we have to do that. And what do we mean by sit down? Well, I was talking with our youth kids about this, and I think it's a huge opportunity this summer. It's sometimes there's power in the pause. Sometimes there's power in the pause. Maybe you just need to pause life for a second and count the cost. Another way you can do that is, you know, what does it mean? So that might be what it looks like for you to sit down. Second, what does it mean to count the cost? Well, here's another way to look at it. We were talking with our kids and our youth group, Element Youth, and we talked about how it's not always the big fork in the road decisions that matter. It's sometimes it's the tiny little rules that you've been breaking over and over. And so maybe you're not at this crossroads, but maybe you've just put up some seasons and some days together where you're like, man, I've kind of lost myself because I've just made multiple tiny concessions throughout each day that took me from where maybe I was in a place where I could be responsible for other people. And maybe you had your stuff together and maybe you've backslid a little bit. And so if you're out there today, maybe just sit down and maybe count the cost in this season. It could be a cool opportunity this summer for you to do that. I've had to do that many times throughout the last few years, and I'll continue to do that. So I wanted to share that with you. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus challenges us and gives us those two depictions so that we can continue to see ourselves in that story. And so that's my first point. There is a cost to discipleship, and there's way more that we could talk about. That scripture will just teach. Read it if you haven't, there in Luke chapter 14. And speaking of Element Youth, I kind of alluded to it. We talked a lot about this section with them not too long ago. And speaking of them and speaking back to my eKids experience, that brings me to my second point, my second lesson. And the second lesson is maybe the most unique title. And you might go, what? Like, what? Oh, it's titled, my second lesson that I've learned these past few years through Element Church has been to let the children come. And that's just, again, surprise, surprise, it's another heading there in Luke chapter 18. So it'll be Luke 18, verses 15 through 17 for the second lesson. That's the scripture context for this second lesson. So you can move there if you've got your Bibles handy, which I hope you do. But yeah, I think that, you know, to let the children come, and the scripture talks through it. But this is a really personal one for me. For those of you who don't know me, I've had such a front row seat to these kiddos. And I know I keep talking about the kids, but you know what? I can't stand up here and share three lessons without talking about the young people of Element Church and really the next generation. I'm a high school teacher now. Thank God. That's been a lesson itself in the last half decade. And I've learned so much from our young people. And it's funny because when you interact with young people and you share in their experiences, your experiences also come out. And I think in the scripture right here, verse 15 is where it really starts. There's a similar scenario. So like I said, I've been doing my best to teach and walk and train young people. But at the same time, I've been realizing how much of a young person I really still am inside. And I think we've all got that kind of stuff. But in verse 15, it's really intriguing, and it interests me because it starts with, and here I'll quote the scripture, "Now they were bringing even infants, children, young people to Jesus so that he might touch them." And I paused right there. I'm like, what? Like, because it begs the question, why did the infants need Jesus' touch? Like, why were the parents bringing the kids to Jesus for a touch? Well, it's because obviously the kids needed healing. The young people needed something. And you might be out there, like, as a parent, and you might be thinking right now, like, my kid's fine. Or you might be thinking, well, like, hey, why is this guy standing up here talking about kids? Like, what are we doing here? You might be thinking, like, does this guy know I don't have kids? Like, it's not just parents tuning in today. You might be thinking, like, hey, this dude doesn't even have kids. Like, what's he doing talking about kids? And I would ask you, how much time do you spend talking about your childhood? Processing experiences and events from your childhood. Do you get flashbacks ever? Do you ever wonder why it feels like the 5-year-old version of you is pulling the levers of your emotions? I'll leave those questions with you. I think it's clear our kids got stuff, but I also think it's clear that we got stuff. And I wanted to tune your attention. So the kids and the grandbabies, or even if like you're in college today and you're like, man, I'm not thinking about kids, start to think about what you're leaving behind, okay? So that's kind of the big practical there, but also like recognize too that like you're still kids. We are still kids. Like we still got stuff. So don't just read that scripture and just think, well, that's a message for the young parents in the room, or that's a message for literal kiddos. It's a message for all of us. And the scripture continues, and I find this fascinating because, and here, actually, this is a quote from the text. It says, "And so the parents are coming with their kiddos, and when the disciples saw the parents bring the infants, they rebuked them." The disciples, that's their reaction. They're like, get out of here. Like, what are you doing with all these kids? Don't you know this guy's busy? And what does Jesus do? He has something to say to them. He rebukes them back in the term in the way of a phrase, let the children come. And I think this is a call for us to realize, like, hey, and I'll just call myself out first. And I think many of us have been playing the role of disciple for a while. And if I might kind of challenge you for a second, what I mean by that is, you know, some of us out there, like we serve and we go to meetings and we tithe and we pray and we read our Bibles and we just get stuck going through the motions and we just get stuck in the routine of Christianity. And that's where verse 17 comes into play, where Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And so how do we do this? Well, you can look at the young people of Element Church. You could do that. I always told our kiddos to stand up front because everybody behind them is watching you. And honestly, I think that was an idea of one of our teenage youth group leaders. They said we should be up front. I think it's because a lot of us, when we're in church service and we're online right now, but when we go into worship in a few moments, you know, you guys might be like, I've been doing this online thing for so long. What do I do here? Do I sit up? Do I stand up? Like, I'm eating something. Well, when we were at the Kellogg Center, like, we still had stuff in our minds. It was just different. It was, do I raise my hands or what would they think? You know, Do I sing loudly, loud enough for someone else to hear me? And that's why we always talked, and we always tried as Element Youth to be a team of young people that went up front so that the people behind them with all those questions could see them. And I just think that looking at the young people and looking at restoring that childlike faith, it's the way to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so I would say, yeah, that might be a good place to start is maybe look at the young people of our church, because they got it going on and they are blazing a new path. But maybe it's just time for you to go back down and walk back through some things. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not receive it. And many of you, it may be a summer of sorting out the past and walking through your childhood with Jesus. It's tough work. It's not going to just be fixed after the end of the summer. But maybe that's the summer that God's got for you. And so I'll move to point three here. And this last point, I really think it might be for those of you who are tuning in for the first time today. And it's a simple point. So the third point is Jesus is watching me. That's one of the three lessons I've learned from this last half decade. And it's one that I'm continuing to learn and I'm so thankful for. I remember the summer before I stepped into, even just considered joining the church that we are all part of, I was at a summer camp somewhere in Michigan with the church that I was serving. And I was a small group, a high school boys small group leader. And I just knew God was stirring some things up in me. I wanted more responsibility. I wanted to take next steps, but none had really become apparent to me yet. And I remember the second or third day of camp, I sat at a picnic table and talked with a guy who I just like when I met him, I had crossed paths a couple times. I was like, you know, that guy's got something, and I want to talk to him. I want to ask him questions. And you know, that guy is your pastor. It's Pastor Scott Hayes. And I'm not kidding you. He gave me 4 hours, the entire break time, to the tune that I think there was hungry babies. Like, you know, I think Pastor Erica had the kid. They were circling like the, you know, the outer like pond area. Like, what are you guys? You know, but they were so patient that day. But that day, honestly, is a moment that I can look back to and know that Jesus is watching me. And I just want to tell you guys as we close today with this last point, then we move into a prayer and worship. I just want to let you guys know that, you know what, like, it's not just me that has a picnic table. That picnic table represented so many things for me. But I want you guys to know, like, God's got a picnic table set up for you too. And that picnic table might look like, yes, finally finding that mentor that you've been desperate for. It might be a conversation with a kid, with a son or a daughter. It might be a conversation with a coworker. It might be a conversation that you have with God sitting at that table. It might not literally be a picnic table, but God has moments that he gives to us and he plots along our path that will remind us that he is watching us. And so that's what I mean. Do you all need to go out and email Pastor Scott after this and put together a picnic basket and invite him to lunch? No. But, you know, there are picnic tables that are waiting for you, and they come in many different ways, shapes, forms. And I guess a more like spiritual, theological term for these picnic tables would be kairos moments. So if you're at home, just say the word kairos. It's kind of an interesting word. Say kairos. Yeah, it's a Greek word, right? It feels fancy to me. I don't know. But I was reading about these kairos moments, and I read an article from Pastor Mark Batterson. He wrote a book that we read in a series we went through called Win the Day, and he was talking about kairos moments. And I'm just going to read from my notes here. He says, kairos refers to the opportune time. He says, chronos, it's like Greek kind of sibling, is quantitative. It counts minutes. Kairos is qualitative, captures moments. It's the critical moment or the appointed time, as it says in Esther, for such a time as this. It's carpe diem, it's seize the day. And if you don't know, kairos is an archery term that denotes an arrow that is fired with sufficient force to penetrate the target. better yet, it's the Archer's paradox. And this is what that term means. Logic would suggest that an arrow should be aimed right at a target, right? But if it's a long distance away, a seasoned archer knows that a vast array of variables will affect the flight path. So if you're standing way back, you cannot hit the target just by aiming directly at the target. The arrow must actually be aimed off target in order to hit the target. The ability to evaluate those variables, so this process that's being described, is Kairos. So I've told you about my journey at Element Church. I've told you about my picnic table moment. I haven't told you that before I came to Element Church, before I even was fit to even be a small group leader at the last church that I was a part of, I spent a half decade previously engaged in addiction and failed relationships, drinking and smoking and doing all these things, and I felt so unqualified. So unqualified. And thank God for the 2 years before I had my picnic table moment with Pastor Scott, because those 2 years were all about me sensing that enough had to be enough. And those 2 years included sneaking into a church, not wanting to say anything to anybody because I was frankly so hungover, I didn't even know how to make eye contact. And I'd go upstairs, I'd sneak to the back row, and just Sunday after Sunday, I would just weep my eyes out, and I'd cry, and the Holy Spirit started moving in my life, and he started getting me ready for this half decade that I've been talking to you about, this past half decade. And the person that I was then is so unrecognizable to me, because since those moments of sneaking into church... Have you ever heard that term, sneaking into church? Yeah, people do it. And you might have snuck into church today. And if you have, don't think that there's any chance, there's any risk involved here. Like, there's a reason why you're here today. And I know that's true, because that's my life. And so those days and those moments brought me a multitude of experiences, but just a handful of picnic table moments, Kairos moments. And I love this arrow analogy, because if I think of the man that stood next to Sarah on that altar, or took our kids to a youth conference, or baptized one of our e-kids, I think about that version of me, and I try to reconcile that with the version of me who used to be previous to this last half decade I've been talking to you about. I just think back to all the times when I thought my life was just always headed in the wrong direction. And I feel I love this analogy, and I hope it connects with you as we close here, because your life might seem like it's an arrow that's been off target since the beginning. But I want you to know that God's watching you, and it's a really good thing that you're not the archer, because if he's the one that's firing the arrow, and all you have to do is show up and pay attention to the picnic tables, then we get to be a part of those moments, like the one I had with Pastor Scott when that arrow lands straight at that picnic table. And I feel like we all have those moments. And so maybe the takeaway from this last point is maybe today in worship, you take a couple minutes and you think about where have those picnic table moments been in my life? Maybe you're in one right now, and maybe you're about to step into one. Maybe God's got one for you. You know that's possible, right? I'm hoping for that. I don't know where you're at with that, but I want you to know that he is capable. He doesn't take chances with his kids, and there are picnic table moments for all of us, because he's watching us. He's watching us. So, I shared a little bit about my season of salvation, salvation season for Cullen. And I've talked to you, all of you out there, my dear Element family, whom I love, whom Sarah and I love so much. But I guess in this moment, I'd like to talk to the me of the me before the half decade that you've heard. And if you found yourself in any of those bits and pieces of my story and in those lessons, I want to speak to you for a second. And I wonder if you'd pray with me, because I don't think you're here by chance. And I think there's a reason why God's called you here today. And so I remember what it was like sneaking into that church. It's the most uncomfortable few minutes of my life, getting into the parking lot, getting through the crowds and getting up into that seat. But as soon as I sat down and the music started, everything changed. My priorities changed. My values changed. I felt hope rise up. And I just wanted to let you know that as you sit here today and as you listen and as you pray with me, hopefully, right about now, there's an opportunity in that. I remember also after the music started and the sermon was finished, I remember there's an opportunity that was given to me. And all that was required from me was a yes. A yes in the deepest part of my innermost being and a hand raise. And so I just want to offer that same opportunity for you right now. So would you pray with me? Father, you know who's out there right now. You know how they came in today. You know all the messes. You know all the scraped knees of our childhoods, all the bad report cards, all the failed relationships, all the little decisions that we make day in and day out that are not good for us. You know, there's a cost to all of this. You want us to lead ourselves well. God, I pray that we would restore. You would help us restore this childlike faith. But Father, ultimately, I just want anybody who's listening today to know from you that you're watching them. So those of us who haven't started a relationship with Jesus, and this Jesus dude is brand new to you, I hope you found yourself in a little bit of my story today, because that story could be, that opportunity is the same opportunity. The one that I received is the same for you. And so Jesus, I just pray for every person today that is sensing right now in their tummies, in the inner parts of their being, that there's an opportunity here to say yes to you, and to go on a new journey, and to step into the unknown, this great adventure that it is to walk and learn and talk with Jesus Christ. I pray that just right now that they would take this moment and that they would just say yes to you. It's it, one syllable, but an eternal decision. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And if you feel comfortable, raise your hand. Just raise it up as high as you can. It's the best decision you could ever make. It'll change everything. Say yes to Jesus. Yeah, God, you're so good. And we thank you for that opportunity. Pray a blessing over everyone else in the rooms today and in the cars on demand. Jesus, bless them. Keep them safe. May your face shine upon them. Build them up, God. Build us up. Strengthen us. Restore us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for spending the last few minutes with me, learning about me, walking through some of these lessons, but not learning about me, learning about Jesus. As we just kind of move from this space, let's move into a place of worship. As you worship, a couple things, tangibles. One, just take a minute and reflect on the direction of your life. Yeah, that feels heavy, but where is your arrow aimed? And think back to that analogy with the archer. Then secondly, reflect on the picnic table moments that have brought you to where you are right now. Have they happened? What were they? Did you forget about them? Are you waiting for one? Is one happening right now? Think that through with the Holy Spirit. And as we go throughout this Sunday and this summer season, let's remember to count the cost, recover our childlike faith, and most of all, He's watching you. He's watching you, and that's such good news. All right, you guys, let's go to God with our worship.